minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, your one-stop shop for all talk from the green and gold. Mike Wendland here with Tyler Grzegorek on this Saturday morning. And as you listen to this, Combine is just around the corner. That's going to start on Tuesday, the 26th, from Indianapolis. Hundreds of, along with coaching staffs, general manager, owners, everyone is going to be there. It's going to be the hub of football for the next week. And there's a lot going on. Obviously, we're going to be expect to hear a lot from Brian Gutekunst down there, along with Matt LaFleur for a little while as well, Russ Ball. A lot of the scouts will be there. So, Tyler, I'll go to you first. Is there anything you're looking forward to from a Packers perspective for the Combine?
Well, I think last year we started to see the shift with Gutekunst and the type of player that the Packers were looking for. Ted Thompson was pretty privy to the same type of player as well, and that's just athletes. But I would like to see the Packers shift that dynamic to getting just football players. I think that this is a team, the Packers, that is, that needs a little bit more of that type of mentality. Just a guy who wants to play football and is good at playing football. It doesn't necessarily have to be the best athlete, but, you know, that's what the Packers will be looking for. And they traditionally have their thresholds that they look for, which after the combine, I will be putting together a list of those types of players. And I'm pretty excited to see who falls within that list.
No, absolutely. There's a lot of interesting names at the combine this year, as long as some ones who aren't. Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons was not invited, but then bless, he tore his ACL. Jalen Ferguson's invite was rescinded, along with a receiver, Preston Williams of Colorado State. So the NFL kind of cracking down a bit more with the combine this year compared to years past as far as who actually gets the invite. There's also some names that I'm fascinated that aren't going to be there, which we can talk about a little bit later. But as this goes on, is there any certain players you want to look at for the Packers' perspective to see what they will do at the combine starting Tuesday? I know you focus on a few positions, but are there any guys that you're really dialed in on?
You know, I think this is a weird year for me. There's only a few players where I'm like, okay, I want to see their three cone. I want to see their ability to change direction, those types of drills. For the most part, I'm looking at measurements this year and the height and the weight and the arm length, specifically for Jonah Williams, Brian Burns, guys like that that have those questions. You know, typically a tackle, I have this number in my head, has 34-inch arms, and you can correct me if you think it's way off or whatever, but I'm not sure where Jonah Williams is going to come in, but he's going to be a guy that everybody has their eyes on for that arm length measurement, because there's been a lot of questions about it, and you can see it on tape, and it might not even matter what his arms come in at. But I mean, this is just the kind of stuff that you're looking for, is those little confirmations, or, oh man, maybe I was wrong about him, let me go back and watch him. Little things like that is what you're looking for at the combine.
Absolutely, and it seems like every position has that certain measurement. For quarterbacks and receivers, it's going to be their hand size. For the linemen, it's their arm length. I know Brian Bulaga's arm length is part of why he dropped down as far as he did for Green Bay to grab him in 2010. For edge guys, it's going to be arm length as well. Same with corners and things like that. So there's always those certain things. And I'm going to be looking for, personally, especially at receivers, I want to see the three cone for them, because the Packers need a slot guy. They need that quick twitch, shifty little guy in the middle, like Randall Cobb was back when he was younger, and like a Julian Edelman type. And there's plenty of those. And if they can find one of those guys, and they can find a really good three cone time to go along with the first 10 yards of the 40, I think that's going to get good, really that offense looking forward to what they could do in April.
Well, and here's the thing about it, the combine is, if you actually watch the combine, you watch these drills, they're not necessarily the most flashy or the most sexy drills, but if you watch these drills, you can usually get a pretty good idea of who is going to be able to move well in space and who is just a good athlete. And you can see it in these drills, the way that their hips open up and the way they can turn, you know, just their flexibility in that area and their ability to change directions, as I mentioned before. And I've actually found great value in watching the drills and being able to identify who are going to be good football players. And just to briefly toot my own horn a little bit and kind of validate what I'm saying, I was watching last year, and I had not heard of Marquez Valdes-Scantling until the Combine, but I watched him perform at the Combine, and I was like, oh, wow, that guy's going to be a good NFL receiver. I went back, I watched some of his tape, and I was like, oh, he's a burner. He's going to burn people deep. And sure enough, he came into the Packers, or he came into the NFL, got drafted by the Packers, and he's had a successful rookie campaign. So those are the types of things that you can look for at the Combine, and you can usually get a pretty good sense of who's a good athlete and who's not. Josh Jackson, on the other hand, we all know he had a terrible Combine, and if you watch him, it was just because of the way that he was unable to open up his hips, as I talked about, and it kind of shows in his lack of experience in the man coverage department. So just certain things that you're going to pick up on that will translate pretty well to the NFL game or not translate.
No, those are two good examples. And the other one that I think is Orlando Brown from Oklahoma, the offensive lineman, who had arguably the worst combine in history last year, where he had a terrible 40. His bench numbers were bad. His agility numbers were really bad. But then he came in and he's been...
Well, and I think offensive line is one of those few positions.
As a rookie, and so like there's those stories.
I think that offensive line, though, is one of those few positions you can get away with something like that. And I personally had dropped Orlando Brown on my board after that incident, or not incident, but after that mishap at the Combine, because I thought it showed a lack of preparedness. But ultimately, I guess he just wasn't the best athlete. But at offensive line, you can kind of mask that with technique. And, you know, there are some drills that you can look for at the Combine. They do this mirror drill, which I think is fantastic. They do this pull trap drill, which is fantastic. You know, just those are the types of things you're going to look at for offensive line, not necessarily all their other statistics. Obviously, you want them to be strong, but they can get stronger. Speed, whatever. If they're slow, put them inside. If they're slow, don't pull them. You know, if they're fast, great. That just adds a skill set to their repertoire. But you know, those are the types of things that you have to be able to pick through as well.
No, there's no doubt about that. And you've seen year after year, a good combine can absolutely skyrocket a guy's stock. In the Packers, just look at Jason Spriggs. He had a massive combine, and that shot him up to the fact that he ended up being traded up for by Ted Thomas in the second round. So far, that hasn't panned out. We'll see what happens this year as well. But guys like Dont'Terry Poe, when he came into it with Kansas City, he rocketed up draft boards with how dominant he was at the combine. Obviously, Aaron Donald was a man among boys at the Senior Bowl and the combine, and that kind of cemented him as that first round pick, and as we now know, a defensive player of the year and arguably the best all around football player in the NFL right now. So it kind of shows, like you said, with those drills, and when you see guys who are really dominant in those drills, that goes a long way, especially in the trenches and at the pass rushing spot, as well as also some receivers. When you see a receiver can beat a quarterback clean at the combine, that can really help.
Yeah, completely. And you know, going back to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, as far as catching the ball, he was having some issues at the combine, but he was getting that separation, which is the one thing I was looking for. You know, as we've seen multiple times, you can correct a catching issue in the NFL. Obviously, it's not an ideal thing to have at the receiver position. You want your guy to be able to catch the ball, but you can get away with it as a prospect and develop that, you know, throughout your time, as long as it's not really, really bad. Like, we've seen some really bad guys who you just can't even throw to them, so they can't even, you know, enhance that skill. But the things you're looking for are the non-coachable traits, and that's why the combine is so important.
Absolutely, and that even goes into the off-the-field stuff, because there's going to be a lot of the medical testing, all of the interviews that the teams are going to be conducting during these next few days. There's a lot that goes on off the field with these guys, and a lot of the players sometimes weren't happy about, especially some of the medical testing. There's going to be a lot of prodding and poking and checking around, checking knees, checking shoulders, things like that. But this stuff really matters when a team's making a draft pick, and these interviews could make or break a career. There's some guys who interviewed poorly, and it hurt them in their draft. It hurt them in their career in the NFL. And some of those guys washed out because they weren't prepared, or they didn't do a very good job talking with the GMs or front offices.
Yeah, for a lot of these guys, like the underclassmen, some of the upperclassmen had the ability to talk to these teams at the Senior Bowl. But for most of these guys, it's their first interview with these teams, and it's their first interaction with these teams. And, you know, you could think about it just like you and I would. It's just a set of interviews to get a big job. And every single interaction with these scouts or these executives from these teams is going to matter. And it has in the past shown to be a critical part of the process. This is where a coach or a GM or a scout can fall in love with a player, you know, just their demeanor, their attitude, their mentality, their personality, all of that kind of stuff. This is where an executive can fall in love with a player. And I know that the Packers were looking at Jalen Jelks at the Senior Bowl. Apparently they had a pretty good interview with him. I have yet to get around to his tape. You know, he wouldn't be more than a fifth round pick at the most, I think, you know, just kind of based off what I've seen from everybody else. I have yet to give a formal evaluation on him, but he's a guy that I would expect them to maybe interview again at the combine if they were impressed at the Senior Bowl. So I think Jalen Jelks is a name to keep an eye out for, but obviously there's going to be so many names going around. You know, if a coach so much looks in the direction of a player, he's going to be linked to him. So you really got to be careful with what you're latching on to as well.
Absolutely. And before we get to a couple players to keep an eye on, Tyler, the scenario, you're hired by Brian Gutekunst to go to the combine and help conduct these interviews. What is the first question you're going to ask any of these players?
Wow, that stumped me. You know, I think my first thought was, oh, you know, do you love football? Of course, they're all going to say they love football. But I think you're trying to get, with these types of questions, you're trying to probe a little bit because they don't have a lot of time with these guys. And you're trying to probe a little bit and get as much information as you can. So, you know, just to keep it simple and maybe a little cliche, I think you ask him something along the lines of, what are your three passions in life? And I think this is where you can really start to gauge where football is in their life, if it's important to them, and also just who the person is in general. And you can, it's an open-ended question, and you can spark a conversation, and anytime you can spark a conversation is when you can really, really start to learn people. So I would just kind of ask them what their three passions were in life in its entirety.
No, I like that. The only thing I was thinking asking would be asking them, do you view this as just a job? Is this something that you actually do? Would you love to actually keep doing? Is this something that actually does have a big difference in your life, or is this just a paycheck for you? I think that's something that the differentiating really goes a long way, because we've seen in the past players who view this as just a paycheck, and they kind of flame out and they really fade once they get that guaranteed money, as we're seeing that in some cities in Pennsylvania right now. But so moving on, there's hundreds of players over there in Indianapolis right now. They're probably already there. They're getting tested, and obviously the on-field stuff will start on Tuesday. What are a couple of names that you think Packers fans should really be watching if they tune into the NFL Network over the next week?
Well, I'm going to be looking at Brian Burns. I'm going to be looking at his bench press. Jonah Williams, his arm length. Let's see here. Who else? Dalton Reisner, his arm length. Some of his agility drills, I think, are going to be important. Ja'Kai Polite, I think, is going to blow it out of the water. TJ Hockenson, I think, is going to have a good combine, not a great combine. If he has a great combine, TJ Hockenson could go top 10. Ed Oliver is going to blow the combine out of the water, and he might cement himself as a top 10 pick. There's been some discussion lately that he won't be a top 10 pick. He could be a top 15 pick. But I think he's going to blow his combine out of the water and cement himself as a top 10 pick. I'm going to keep my eyes on Nick Bosa. I don't believe necessarily that teams aren't concerned about his injury. I know that there's been reports that they haven't been concerned with the injury and his recovery and his time frame and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not sold on that, and I that's a name I'm going to keep an eye on as far as the medical. And obviously, if something ever comes of it, it's going to be big news. But I'm going to keep an eye on Nick Bosa and his medical. As far as other names for the Packers to keep an eye on, Montez Sweat, if he has a good combine, he could project himself into the top 20. Let's see. I mean, do you have any names, Mike?
Surprised you haven't said Cody Ford yet.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't say Cody Ford. because he's going to test well. And I think deep down, I don't want him to, so he's available at 30. So deep down, I don't want him to test well, but Cody Ford will test well. He'll be one of the better offensive linemen. At least I would put my money on that. Cody Ford is the tackle from Oklahoma, my draft crush, so proclaimed this past week. So I'm excited to see all these guys. You know, the more I get into this tackle class, that's the group I'm currently watching. The more I get into this tackle class, the more and more I realize how good of a class it is. There are so many options, and the Packers picked a great year to need a tackle because they're going to have a good option for the first two rounds. There's going to be a handful of guys that they could take and put in and play. And even if they miss out in the second round, there's pretty good upside projects in the third, fourth, and fifth rounds. So I'm pretty excited for the Packers' tackle prospects this year. I don't think that they necessarily want to address the guard this year. I think they could maybe kick one of these guys inside like Dalton Risner, but I'm not too sold on the guard group at this point. I think it's pretty far and few between with those guys. But I'm in love with the tackle class this year. I think more so than I am with the defensive line class. And I was pretty high on the defensive line class about a week ago.
No, I agree. And guys, I want to look for, at least at offensive line, I want to see Titus Howard from Alabama State. So I love seeing these small school guys there because they a chance for them to kind of prove themselves. Juwan Taylor's another guy to keep an eye on, I think, for the tackle out of Florida. Cause he's right now rocketing up a lot of people's draft boards. He's seen all potential top 10 guys.
He's interesting to me. Juwan Taylor, I feel like he could test poorly. I mean to cut you off, but I feel like he could test poorly. I just have a gut feeling. I could be very wrong. My gut could be wrong, but I think he's a name to keep an eye on for sure, because if he does test poorly, he could drop pretty significantly.
I agree. I also want to keep on your linemen that are out there. Edwards, Dieter, and Benchall, depending on how they test, that could help them a lot, because they're known as good football players and good linemen, but if they don't test well, that could drop them down into day three, which makes things very, very interesting moving on. As far as on the edge, I want to keep an eye on Clelin Ferrell's agility stuff, because he's seen as kind of stiff, and whether he's going to be a 4-3 end or a 3-4 linebacker makes things interesting. And if he kind of shows some stiffness and he doesn't do well in things like the 3-cone and doesn't show well in a lot of the mirror stuff, that could really drop his stock a little bit, maybe out of the top 10, out of the top 15. Other guys like Sutton Smith, who were uber productive in college, see what they can do when they're no longer facing lower level competition, stuff like that makes me interesting. And also my main beef is guys that weren't invited. We've seen over the years guys that weren't combine guys who ended up having big careers. And the kind of one that got me is a guy who exploded at the Senior Bowl, and that's Penny Hart, who is one of my draft crushes, wide receiver out of Georgia State. Because when you watch some of the stuff that he's done, his numbers aren't going to wow you, but he played with some horrendous quarterback play during his tenure there. And we watch the routes he ran at the Senior Bowl. He made some top-flight corners look absolutely silly. And he was breaking ankles. He was making guys look nuts. He made Andy Isabella seem like a mediocre receiver. We know Isabella is arguably one of the top slot guys in the draft. So when you look at some of those guys there, the guys who aren't invited at times to me are just as interesting as the guys who are going to be there.
Well, and, you know, you talk about the guys who aren't going to be there. You know, Preston Smith and Jalen Ferguson are the two big ones. Jeffrey Simmons was a big one before he hurt himself. You know, the process only hurts the teams, at least that part of the process, and denying these guys access to the combine. It only hurts the NFL teams because they don't get to uncover who these guys are. You know, they don't get to discuss their possible red flags. You know, they don't get to do their due diligence at the combine. If they get interested in these players, they have to go out of their way to go and do their research with them and interview them and test them and all that kind of stuff. So Jalen Ferguson and Preston Smith. Preston Smith is a guy who could be a pretty good day two pick. I don't think he's going to be a first round pick anymore. I think he had the talent to do so. He's got some questions in his game, but I think he'll be a day two, round two, round three pick. And Jalen Ferguson, I am not high on him at all. I know that we've talked about that. I don't get it. I see some of the skills, but I don't think that there's enough of a complete package to get excited about him. But, you know, it would have been worth some teams talking to him about the incident that happened 10 years ago or whatever it was. No, it was like 6 years ago. But the point is, it was relatively not recent for him, and the NFL is still denying him access to the combine. And Preston Smith was a little bit, that one made a little bit more sense, and Jeffrey Simmons made a little bit more sense, but it's all about the NFL picking and choosing their battles and probably picking pretty poorly.
Absolutely, and one last player to keep an eye on, because he's been linked to Green Bay quite a bit, is Hollywood Brown, Oklahoma, who is not, he was going to be there, but he's not going to be doing drills, so the medical with him could really big, especially for a smaller receiver, so keep an eye on Hollywood Brown's medicals over the course of the next few days as well.
You know, for Hollywood Brown, I couldn't find much information about the actual injury. I just know something in the leg. But from what I've seen, that type of injury has not necessarily boded well for those recovering from it. And we'll see. I think he just had surgery or is just about to have surgery or something like that. So we'll see if he even shows up at the combine or if teams just kind of try to get him for his pro day or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of players and a lot of storylines. So if you have some time over the next few days, starting on Tuesday, tune into the NFL Network, go to the gym, see if it's there, do whatever, and see some of these guys out there. These are the future of the NFL between the quarterbacks, the running backs, the pass rushers. Everyone's going to be there. And it's kind of really cool to see a lot of these guys in one setting all working together and doing these drills. It also gives you an insight on some of the coaching staffs as well as what they kind of like to do with their drills as well. So as we wrap things up, Packers offseason really ramps up starting on Tuesday, and also in just a few weeks, free agency will open up as well. There's a lot to break down, so stay tuned to the Pack a Day podcast. Again, every day we're going to be here about 20 minutes, between 20 and 35 or so, depending on the topic and the personalities at hand. So to wrap things up, Tyler Grzegorek, where can people find you? What are you working on?
As always, you can find me on Twitter at Tyler_Grez. And I'm still working on that She Said TV draft guide. Be sure to get that pre-order in. It's coming out. The link will be coming out in a couple weeks. Be on the lookout for it. But I'm pretty draft heavy right now. I'll jump on Twitter and talk about free agency a little bit, which has also been a fun topic of discussion because the Packers just have so many options this year, both in free agency and the draft. So it's been a pretty good offseason thus far, but I'm only working on the draft guide right now.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter at Mike Wendland, all one word. I'm not doing a ton of writing right now just because with my job, high school playoff basketball is really ramping up to the point where we're recording this very, very early on a Friday morning because I have to drive up about 2.5 hours north of where I live now just to do a high school basketball game later on this evening. So it's kind of crazy right now. It'll be my fourth game out of 5 days, and I'll do more next week as well. But once that kind of slows down, I'll be getting back into doing a lot of draft stuff, a lot of stuff with other sports that I write for Dairyland Express as well. And, of course, stay tuned for Jacob and Zach tomorrow as they bring you more coverage from the Pack a Day podcast. So until next time, for Tyler, this is Mike saying so long. We'll talk to you next time on the Pack a Day podcast. Go Pack, go.
The 16 of New York. First down, goal to go. Rodgers in the shotgun. Williams to his left. Here's the snap. Rodgers clean pocket. Throws the middle to get down. And a dagger. They beat Morris Claiborne to the back line of the end zone. The Packers have won it.
Snap to Wild.
Oh, yes. And taken by Jackson in the end zone for a touchdown. Jackson, the rookie, recovers in the end zone in a Lambeau leap to the north end zone stand. The Packers have a 6-0 lead.
Pepperd on third down and 3 in the shotgun. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Pepperd looking, hit as he throws it, deep down the right sideline, and intercepted on the play. Spectacular interception by Kevin King at the 9-yard line of Green Bay. Snap to Rodgers, looking right. Throws the right side, Z. Brown makes the catch and saves the 30 out of bounds. Oh, he reached back to gather it in, using all 6'5 of his frame. Tumbled out of bounds, inside the 30 of the 28-yard line. Hunter Bradley the snap, J.K. Scott down on one knee, arm extended. Here it is, placement made, kick is up. It is good! Mason Crosby delivers the dagger!
One week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight.
Third and five, 13-yard line of Atlanta. Snap, Ryan, looks right, goes right down.
Intercepted to the house, Bashaud Breeland. Touchdown, Green Bay Packers. 19-yard interception return, and it's 16-7 Packers.
And Rodgers looks it over, takes the snap, blitz on, they pick it up, lost
him. They got him. They got him.
10-5, touchdown, touchdown, 40 yards. Single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks it under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here is a handoff off the middle.
Big hole, straight ahead. Here's Aaron Jones, off to the races, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, down the left sideline, and he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a burst, 67 yards.